The Caribbean Premier League, the biggest party in sport. Tell us what you're doing over there.
Well, I'm out here working for the host broadcaster, and I've sort of been teamed up with Ian Bishop and Damian Martin and H.G. Ackerman as a sort of the crew that is taking care of the Trinidad, Guyana and Jamaica leg of the trip on commentary. So very much looking forward to it. It's my first experience of the CPL. And, having played out here in the Caribbean over the years, the reputation it has for people enjoying the cricket, enjoying the fun of being at these games, and all reports are that this is a pretty lively tournament, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing it firsthand.
You mentioned that you've played some cricket in the West Indies. What for you makes it so special?
Generally speaking, even though all reports are that the game is dying over here, I don't necessarily prescribe to that point of view. The public are incredibly interested in cricket and cricketers. Couple of that with people's sort of love of getting out and enjoying themselves and partying. You've got and add 2020 to that mix, and you've got a pretty lively cocktail for a good time. The West Indies being world champions at T20, both men and women, means that the excitement about it is growing. I think it's only the fourth year this year in this competition. Mm-hmm. It seems to be going from strength to strength. So, I just think it's going to be a really enlightening and good fun month or so of cricket.
I think you're right there, Mark, because West Indies cricket, certainly in T20 and ODIs, are not on a real high, and you've got Chris Gayle down, Sammy the Bravos, Carlos Braithwaite. This is pretty much the first time they're all going to be back in the Caribbean since winning the World 2020, so that's got to excite the crowd, if nothing else, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of those guys, you mentioned Dwayne Bravo, just had a little stint at Surrey at home, down there in Hampshire. Chris Gayle's been over as well. So, a lot of guys have not been back. They also, after the World T20, stayed behind and went straight into the IPL. So, yeah, a big homecoming for them, perhaps. But also, a chance for the public to catch up with some other big stars as well. The likes of Brendan McCullum and Shane Watson. Dale Steyn's going to be over. So, there are Kumar Sangakkara. There are a lot of very, very big name players playing in a competition that only has the six teams in it as well. So, the sort of the narrative, the story of the competition and being able to sort of immediately identify who's playing with who are going to be, it's going to be very, very easy and make things very exciting.
Yeah, I've got the sort of squad list in front of me. It does read almost like a who's who of top level 2020 cricket. You mentioned you're covering the Trinidad games. Trimbago, the reigning champions, they kick off their campaign against St. Lucia Zooks in a few hours now. Do you get a sense of the excitement sort of building out there at the moment?
Well, yeah, I'm at the Hilton here in Trinidad, where the England team used to stay all those many moons ago. In fact, for 12 years since I was here last. Things haven't changed a massive amount of the hotel, but the likes of Dan and Sammy sort of wandering around and jumping around out in the pool there. It seems to be creating a little bit of excitement. I can't imagine why. The bloke is built like a Greek god, for crying out loud. I think people are very excited about it.
And so what do you make of the move to play some games in Miami this year? Sort of year on year, they're taking it to different islands, but now sort of making that sort of step into the unknown, the USA, of course.
Yeah, it's just an interesting one and a really bold step. You mentioned, the Trinbago side were called the Red Steel, now they're called the Knight Riders. Mm. There's definitely an IPL sort of influence seeping in. And I know that the Indian market and the West Indian market are very keen to sort of tap into what they find in terms of expats and new fans in that great untapped market of the United States. So I think it's incredibly bold, it's incredibly forward looking, and time will tell whether or not it works out. But I think it's a pretty exciting step for cricket in the region.
You've covered the T20 Blast, you've covered the IPL. Can you compare sort of like-for-like tournaments, or is it a little bit, they're all sort of different and got their own identity?
It's a little bit tricky. The IPL's alone, really. Even the Big Bash in terms of the you know, in terms of when it's played, i.e. in the summer holidays, in terms of some of the crowds that they've been getting of recent, which, you know, 60, 70,000 people turning up at a domestic T20 game is incredible. But still, I think the flag bearer or the point of everything is judged the IPL, just simply because of the massive interest. I mean, this is something that everybody in the country is talking about. The attendances are always huge. The atmosphere of the game is incredible, and you have the best players in the world there. Now, the CPL is kind of looking to follow that, and of course, you've got logistical difficulties with the separate islands and the travel that's involved and all those other types of things. But each competition has its own sort of identity, I guess. And what the CPL is trying to do is just trying to garner that and push it as far as it possibly can. I've mentioned it's only in its fourth year at the moment. Mm. IPL 9 has just gone by, so they've got double the head start on this one. And as I said, I think that the Florida move is an incredibly exciting one. And the partnership that they're trying to try and build with the likes of the OPL will only help them in the future. And if you couple that with sort of like the difficulties that West Indies cricket is having in terms of, you know, the players and the board not particularly getting on with one another, and players worried about their financial futures and disappearing off to go and earn their money elsewhere, the more that can happen here in the West Indies to kind of perhaps persuade the rest of the world, plus their young players that are playing here, is a good thing to do as well, then the better that will be for West Indies cricket, I guess.
Yeah, no, that would be a very positive message. I mean, you said earlier that there are six teams, so you can follow them quite easily, if you like. But for me, the CPL is always very, very competitive. I wonder if that's to do with the way they draft the players, they include the young players, and that's got to be a good thing for any tournament, hasn't it? No sort of weak teams or teams sort of, you know, being tailed off early.
No, well, exactly. I mean, obviously the fewer teams you have to fill, the more concentrated the talent is, and that helps push up the competitiveness and the standard. But I mean, you know, I've always been of the opinion in T20 cricket that a high standard of play is almost a byproduct of getting the structure of your competition correct. Now, you know, again, whether or not the CPL in the future might think about adding, you know, another franchise or two, or whether they think that six is perfectly the right number, remains to be seen. But you know, if your structure is good and you manage to be able to attract the best players you can possibly get, package the whole thing up into a relatively short space of time, manage to get every game on the television, then you capture as big an audience as you can possibly get, which is what T20 cricket for me is all about. You're trying to attract perhaps those people who've lost faith. You're trying to attract youngsters who might feel that 7 or 8 hours at a one-day international or 5 days of a test match is too long, and you're pushing the game. It might not be the way that the traditionalists would want to do it, but it's the way that the game is going, and the way that you're keeping interest in it.
Certainly is. And just to finish off, Mark, an early sort of prediction from you to who we might be looking or should be looking out for to go well.
I suppose, you know, the reigning champions, Trinidad, look bloody strong again. You know, Bravo, McCullum, Narine, Hashim Amla, Kevon Cooper. They've got some real good players there. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at the Jamaica Talawars and thinking that they might take some beating, really. You know, and also my late grandmother is Jamaican, and she'd bash me around the head if I didn't say so. So I'm going to go for Jamaica. Stick my neck out and say Jamaica.